podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, Welsh Voice Focus for our regular Wednesday interview, and I'm delighted to welcome back a popular guest in commentator Seb Hutchinson, good start, to discuss Nottingham Forest and all things relegation battle. Seb, you've had a busy couple of days commentating on the Lionesses, so appreciate you joining us. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's been a long time since I came on, and a lot has changed in that time, would you believe?
Well, it has for me with work and for Forest on the pitch as well. And they've changed managers. And not too much has changed in terms of league position. We're still 17th, and I'd very happily take that after 38 games and subject to points deduction appeals. So, last time you were on, we were saying before we started recording, was just either side of Steve Cooper's last game. And obviously Nuno's been in a while now. What have you made of Forest under Nuno? Like I was saying, we haven't moved points table position too much, but you know, we picked up a few good results, and the style of football is different. What's your take on it?
I like the way you use the word different. I think fans always sometimes that's all fans want initially until the points don't come, and I think that's how it's felt with Nuno. It's almost a bit like, oh, I think we're playing better football, we're scoring more goals, but we're not moving position. And the points aren't coming. And I think when I spoke to you earlier in the season, every time I saw Forest, I saw enough in them to think they're not going to go down. They're not going to go down. And at that point, we didn't know about potential points deductions per se. So have to put that into account of anything we're looking at. And also, just the brilliant battling of Luton Town to just stay in the mix. I mean, that was a big part of the reason why I thought Forest would be okay, was the three promoted sides. I just couldn't see them picking up the points necessary. But Luton have hung in there, and I've so much credit to them. They've been fantastic, even though they've lost a lot of games, but they've been in so many games. They've rarely been thrashed this season. I can't really think of many times they've taken a hammering. And they have been a credit to this league because they were the side that people thought would go down. Of all the three promoted teams, they were the favourites in a lot of people's eyes. They just thought they could have record low points totals. They can't hack it. They haven't got the quality in the side. They haven't made the signings. They're not going to invest. It's a small club in their first season in the Premier League. But I think their performances have probably given Forest fans a few itches. Just more than an itch,
yeah,
you might say.
Oh, God. I know.
They picked up a point again, have they? Late equaliser. And I think probably that a big part of that was the meeting with Luton a few weeks ago where, you know, late equaliser, a crazy game. And I think there was some crazy off-the-line clearances in that match. It was unbelievable. And Luton got a goal at the end. And they scored a fair few late goals even last time out as well. And I think within football fans, they have a sense of, oh no. When you see a team doing certain things, you think, oh no, we're not doing that. In fact, it's the opposite for us. We're conceding late goals. I think you think how late that Liverpool winner was. You think, oh, this is not going well. We are in big trouble here. It's amazing because, like I said to you before, when I spoke to you before Christmas, I genuinely thought Forest, while they wouldn't be feeling comfortable all the time, because that's the nature of the Premier League, and I didn't see them being in this particular position. But of course, the points deduction is a big elephant in the room.
Yeah, well, I think we'd probably be feeling a lot more comfortable without it. We'll get on to FFP a little bit later. But yeah, Luton feel like they're a bit like a football cockroach from a Forest fans' point of view, like. They're just surviving this line of nuclear winter of a season. They just won't go away. And I'll be very glad when the season's over if we do stay up. And if they go down, it's got to that stage where I don't really care who goes down, just as long as we survive. It's interesting. I'll put this chart up. I think this is from Monday's podcast. And I think you're right about Luton. Yeah, they've scored 17 goals after 76 minutes of a game, but they've conceded 17 from 61 to 65 for people who are listening. So they do have that resolve, to be fair. What have we done? We're pretty kind of the same all the way through. We can see slightly more than we score. Why?
There's not many double figures there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly so. I mean, what is it about Forest then?
Yeah, looking at that, I mean, it probably sums it up.
I think so. I think so.
What, I think.
What is it about Forest you think that's gone just wrong? When you watch them, I always feel like that we're playing well, and then we'll do something. We often shoot ourselves in the foot, I feel. Is that a big factor or not?
Yeah, of course. I still think the underlying problem is settled side. I just think the squad issue is always going to be there. And debate over who should be in the starting lineup goes on and on and on. I think the teams that do well and have a settled side that you know is going to start every week and they stay fit. Obviously, Forest have had injuries, but who hasn't really in this league season? Or you're a side that rotate really well or use the bench really well. I mean, we're using the elite examples of Man City and Liverpool. But Liverpool, for example, use the bench really well and give them that second win late in games. And Man City have got, you know, superstars coming off the bench. But when I think of Aston Villa, for example, their first 11 is often disrupted by injuries. But they have a nice rotation going on with the players. They have, when you have a player like Diaby and Bailey, they're almost interchangeable at times in that 11. McGinn does the same on the left-hand side. Jacob Ramsey is out for the season. Of course, Aaron Ramsey's got injury issues as well. And Morgan Rodgers has come in and is a similar type of player in that he's a strong runner. He can beat a man. He can run. And they've just got that going from, I think Forrest has always been a bit like different types of players that you bring in, which change the shape and the way the side plays. So if you were to go through every Forest midfielder, they're offering something a little bit different. And you sort of think to yourself, oh, I'm going to have to change the way we play today because we're playing Dominguez, we're playing Yates, we're mixing up. You know, how are we going to approach this next opponent? Strassman's a very practical individual, very focused manager, doesn't get too emotional, except for the fact that he's so invested into football, doesn't like to be distracted on other topics too much. He's very much focused on the task at hand. But I wonder in his head, because of course not many of these are his players really, I wonder if he, even at this point, still knows his best team. I mean, it's crazy to think about it. I think the last time we spoke, I don't think Omar Bamadeli had even played a minute, and he's been more regular since Nuno took over. It always happens. Certain players under managers do have more runs in the side. I think you've been through three keepers since we last spoke. So it's a bit, that says it all. You know, if you're chopping and changing a goalkeeper, bringing in another goalkeeper, that doesn't bode well either. And I think it's just, that's probably the unsettled nature of it. And I get it, what the ownership have tried to do. They just want to get lots of talent into the club. There's no use really in their eyes for the manager. He's got players to work with, make them play, win us games. But we know football's not as simple as that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, Forest fans, what do you make of Nuno as a manager then? Because you'll have seen him at Wolves, at Spurs. Forest fans, I'm not sure what the right word is. Is it ambivalence? I don't know. He's succeeding Cooper, who was so popular. He was always on a bit of, not a hiding to nothing, but an uphill task. So what do you make of him as a manager from a more neutral point of view?
Well, I don't think he had much to make up in terms of being seen as a good manager, because I think with Steve Cooper, there was very much an emotion there, emotional attachment to Cooper. He seemed to get what the club was about. He helped take the club back to the Premier League. There was a special connection with the fans, but clearly on the pitch, there was issues with the team. And ultimately, you know, one bad result too many. But when Nuno comes into that situation, not many managers are able to pull a team out of troubles, per se. What usually happens if they're successful is they just keep you out. I mean, how often do you see a side pick up a new manager and then they go, you know, win 7 out of 8 and they're mid-table and it's, oh, what were we worried about? It just doesn't really happen. It's more you try to stutter over the line and try anything to eke out results. I think probably what helps, what it's a hard question to answer until the season has ended, because when you look at the remaining fixtures, obviously Man City aside, there are points in there for Forest and expected points. And if by the end of the season they haven't picked up many points from those fixtures remaining, and we do, and I do include this weekend as one of those, even though Wolves have done relatively well this season, then we're having a different conversation, I think. Because I go back to what I said before Christmas, is that I think the quality of player is there. I actually genuinely believe that. I think Forest, with the side they have, the squad they have, the talent in the squad, they should not be going down. If you were to compare them to the three that have come up, they're far, far superior in terms of quality. I'd even argue they've got better players than Everton. So I just think it's that's the thing that's made me believe they wouldn't go down, but it's also could be something to beat Nuno with later on if they don't pick up those points. They definitely look better going forward, but there are vulnerabilities still from set pieces. We have seen goalkeeper mistakes still. And Estelle's made some good saves, but there have been some errors in there. And I know I said it earlier about goalkeepers, but I think going through 3 in a season isn't good. I don't really know if you can't build from that sort of scenario in a safe way and knowing that's my goalkeeper and I'm building my defence, then it's really difficult to if you don't get your defence right, then you're asking for trouble when you're near the bottom of the table. And Forest conceded some sloppy goals, and they know that. I think what probably summed up Forest season, probably in the eyes of me, was Murillo trying that outrageous attempt. They nearly caught the goalkeeper out. I think he's done it more than once, actually. It's not, I think he's done it twice in weeks. But then in the same game, scoring an own goal, it's a bit like, I'm not saying there's a lack of focus, Forest focus, but there's certainly a sense of they're never always settled throughout the game. There's always a moment in the game where Forest just lose concentration, lose an element of shape, lose an element of discipline. They have players in that front line that in fleeting moments look very, very good players. And we're talking about players that have been, some of which have been at some of the biggest clubs in the league. Some expected to push on, some in Gibbs White case, push, you know, the idea that he'd be involved with England as well. But it's a consistency, isn't it? It's a consistency that keeps you in the top half of the table. It's a consistency that pushes you into Europe. If you don't have that consistency, you're struggling. Consistency has been a massive issue for Forest. It really has. And I guess Nuno has to find that settled side. It feels like he's sort of there, but I'm not saying you're running out of games, because you know you're just about have it in your control still. I bet it doesn't. I mean, doesn't make you feel any better. Let's put it that way.
No, certainly not. Certainly not. And you're right about consistency. I know David Prutton said that after the Fulham game. I was like, well, why can't we do this more? And he said, well, you know, the players aren't consistent. And Gary Birtles has said that on here as well. And you're right about concentration. Like even against Fulham. Well, I don't know if you saw that one. They had a header off the bar that would have made it 3-2, which was really bad defending on our part. And we got through that one. And everything feels, you know, a bit like that. There's only West Ham at home where I felt like, oh, this is nice. We're going to win this game. That's the only one. And they were in horrible form. So, yeah, I do think you're right.
Sorry, Matt, just you mentioning that Fulham game. I think you're absolutely right. That's a game that epitomises Forest's problem this season. Actually, Forest problem since Nuno took over in that they can score goals. They haven't had a problem scoring goals recently. They've got a striker who's scoring goals game after game. That's not the issue. But like you say, it's the focusing games. I think, you know, to be in a commanding position against Fulham and then that second half, just all of a sudden thinking, oh, well, hold on a minute, 3-2. And then you know if they'd made it 3-2, it would have been 3-3 quite quickly after that, because that's the sense. And maybe the players have that feeling as well. So they never feel totally secure, even when they have an advantage in a game. But they have quality to cause other good side's problems. We saw that in the Tottenham match early on. Chris Wood chance. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But moments like that, it could change games, of course. But I think this is why I think the league is always the greatest test, because you can't hide over the course of those games. I know it's a cliche, people say it all the time, but it's so true. You know, the team, you finish where you finish and you deserve to finish there. And teams that have gone down with quality players, they've gone down often because of their lack of consistency, that lack of maybe focus in key moments. Sometimes you bring together quality players that lack experience, per se, you know, playing in that league, haven't played many games in that league, perhaps. We could list a few players that you thought Forest have brought in, and I'm not going to mention the World Cup winner again, but they're bringing players in that you expect to hit the ground running because of what their track record says, and it just doesn't happen. And that's because the Premier League's tough. It's a really difficult league. Other clubs are doing the same thing. So you just need to settle down. Is Nuno the man to do that? Well, he's just quite an understated guy, isn't he? And I think that plays a part in people's difficulty in analysing him, because in their head, they don't see him as someone who is in there at half time, like rousing the players up and trying to turn the game around. He seems quite a calculated, calm, has an edge to him, certainly has an edge to him, but tries to, he emits more of a low key way about him. And that works for certain players, doesn't work for other players. I don't know how much you've learned about the personality of individual players at Forest, but it'd be fascinating to find out. But I keep returning to this same fact that so many very talented players in this Forest side, as in Premier League talent, level talent, if this team went down and they stayed, which is a completely another situation, they would be far too good for the Championship. Far too good. But Premier League's unforgiving, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. And, I mean, it's been the story of the season, really, about it is unforgiving, but we've not forgiven ourselves in the sense that, you know, the Luton home game was awful. The Luton away game, like you said, we had chances off the line. I think you did West Ham away, where they scored two corners, you know, just a lack of discipline. It's like I just wonder if it's a, like, concentration, mental resolve, that kind of thing that's frustrating. I mean, one of the things I was going to ask you is, do you see a whiff of, like, Leicester last season around set pieces? Forest fans and myself think Matt Sells has actually done, he's done well in the last, he's really come into his own last month or so. So I'm less worried about the goalkeeper. But do you see that kind of
But can I just say, when you say he's done relatively well, is that based on the bar that you had? Or I have seen him. He has done relatively well. I think back to, it's completely escaped me. I don't know why. When he completely mispunched the ball. I completely forgotten what game it is. Completely gone.
That was.
You can remind me.
That was on my band. Yeah, recently. Yeah, and I can't remember the game. But then it was against Liverpool, he made a top save, and against Spurs, he was really good.
Yes.
So he's getting more of a presence. I mean, that's another frustration around, you know, if he'd been in goal all season, you know, even as a steadying mid-table keeper, we'd be a steady mid-table team. We've talked about Turner and Vlachodimos a lot. But, I mean, do you see that kind of Leicester sleepwalking thing or not? Is that not a fair comparison?
It's not fair to Forest in terms of, I wish it wasn't Leicester, but it's not fair to Forest in terms of they're a side of, you know, they've only spent one season before this one in the Premier League in a run. Leicester was a bit different, where they had several seasons in the Premier League. They were champions, of course, played in the Champions League, but you always felt there was a time coming. And I think it's something that every club outside of inverted commas Big Six, every club outside of that, or maybe Newcastle might be an exception at the moment, but they know they're in a situation where if they put a good team together, those players are then going to be sold at some point, and then it's who you bring in to keep you on that level. Brighton are probably struggling with that situation at the moment. They've let a lot of really good players go, and at some point your luck runs out. Well, I can't say luck, but your your identification of the right player isn't quite correct, isn't quite of the level required to replace who you've had, you know, go out. So I think Leicester were always going to have that issue. And also whether if you're used to being in the top six or whatever, and then you think, oh my gosh, we've now got a relegation zone. How does that affect the players involved? Their mindset's completely different. Is there an element of feeling a bit defeatist going to games where you expected to win before, all of a sudden it's like, you know, a point would be good here. It's a difficult mindset. And at Leicester, we're really scrambling at the back end of the season. And I think they were already rolling downhill and they just couldn't stop themselves. I don't think Forest are like that. I don't think Forest are rolling downhill, struggling to stay. They're just sort of, they're on the ice skating around. They're just trying to stay on their feet. And they are just about staying on their feet. And the skill is there. The skill is there. Talented skaters, but you know, the ice can be slippery.
True. Certainly can. Certainly can. And one thing Leicester also did, I don't know if you follow all the accounts and stuff, but I've become a bit of a spreadsheet nerd in the last few weeks, obviously. Leicester's wage bill was absolutely insane. It rose to like pushing 200 million, and now they're in financial bother because they kind of chase the rainbow, to go back to that phrase. But it feels like, I've just seen Leeds accounts as well, 106 million loss, Forest in bother. A lot of football feels like it's on spreadsheets now, and we obviously have points deductions. Well, what's your take on the whole FFP and direction of travel around just the way the game's gone this season in that sense?
Yeah, I mean, football's in a really difficult situation. I think the Premier League is in a really difficult situation because this is the biggest league in the world, the most followed league in the world. And it has a standing that it wants to maintain. Now, to maintain that standard, you need the best players in the world to be playing in the Premier League. The football's a global game. So any restrictions you put on your own league have to be thought of in terms of the world game. So I think ideally, the Premier League, you know, in a previous incarnation has effectively said, you know, spend what you like, you know, bring in the players you like, this will make the league better. And then they quickly saw a situation where they were worried whether certain clubs were owned by basically what seemed like, you know, bottomless pit of money, essentially, clubs like that. And they thought this could really distort the league quite badly because essentially if a club can spend whatever, then the clubs that don't have owners like that are never going to be able to be in the mix for those players. And the league could feel very lopsided. Now, the opposite side of that is to say there's always been the have and have nots in football. But I think in the past, there was a sense that a club could, well, do what Forest did in the late 70s. You know, that's always been the idea. I think most football league clubs is that belief that they could get to the promised land and be in the mix, maybe have a European trip at some point. And you just wonder if there was a sense of, if we allow this not to be controlled, that it's just only going to go one way and you're just going to have maybe four or five teams because there's not that sort of wealth. There's not many places that have that sort of wealth. Four or five teams that would just dominate every year, every season. Now, when you do bring a restriction in, you're basically shutting the gate. So whoever's through the gate already is set and they're fine. Anybody trying to catch up now has a big problem. Because as Forest decided to do, they decided when we went up, we are going to invest heavily in the playing staff to make sure we stay in the league. Because if we don't do that, we're going to go straight back down again. Some people were looking at Forest and said, look, you knew that you were running this risk when you did this. But the counter argument is, well, what else can we do? You know, this is an entertainment business. You want to bring good players to the club. We want people to buy tickets to come and watch us. We want the fans to feel good about the club and to feel like we've not just gone up and not spent anything. And you can find yourself in a situation where Sheffield United are in, where they just didn't spend anything, sold one of their best players. And after that, well, we just knew they were going to be in big, big trouble. But then you can have a situation with a team like Luton, who slightly bucked the trend, but they could still go down, Luton, you know. And you think to yourself, if Luton were able to invest in the summer, if they had brought in a certain level of player, they'd probably be quite comfortable the way they play. They'd have had better players to get them turn those narrow defeats into points here and there, victories here and there. So it's a really difficult situation. And I think what most football fans would love to see is an equality in football in terms of the belief that the season starts and any team can be in the mix. But if you have a system like that, then you sometimes miss out on the very best players around, because they will go where the money is. They will go where the fame is, where they know they're going to be guaranteed trophies every year. And the league can be affected by that. If a league decides to go down that road, the Premier League could lose its luster. It could lose its appeal. I get that. At the same time, what the Premier League's finding is what happened in January, where nobody really spent any money. When you're seeing Crystal Palace be amongst the top spenders in the league, you're thinking, hold on, what's going on here? And I think that's bothered the Premier League at the same time, because they thought, hold on, these restrictions mean that everybody's decided, oh, we're not going to buy anyone anymore. Where do we want to be in the grand scheme of things with this? It's a really tough situation. I mean, everybody could have an answer to this. And the problem, there's always a but, because football's partisan as well. So people can be attacking clubs like Man City every day of the week. But at the same time, if you're a Manchester City supporter, you feel like you're being personally attacked. And therefore, you're not going to want to jump on board anything that's perceived as having a go at you or whatever. So it's a really difficult football to get that balance and decide, oh, this is how it's going to work out. You know, we'll all come together and we'll create an equal league where everybody's got a chance of winning, and we all spend the same amount of money on transfers. And that would be ideal. Everyone had a transfer pool and they all just had to spend from 200 million. And it's up to you whether you get the right signings or not. But when you start breaking that down, it just doesn't work, because you have to work in the free market of football. You can't shut yourself off, because it's not the NFL. And that's just the reality of football.
Talking of everyone's got an unlimited or a set budget, then here we go. A word for our sponsors, the Trent Navigation, and they have an FPL league where you have a budget of £100 million. Sign up. League code is all lowercase. This is LY4UG8, and you can win two tickets to a T20 game at Trent Bridge this summer. So, yeah, do that. And as ever, thanks to Trent Navigation for their support. Last plug as well for the live show tomorrow night, 7 p.m. at the Nav. Fletch is on the panel with Lewis McGugan, and it will be a good evening, I assure you. Right, back to business. Just around the impact of these points deductions, Everton 2 more points off, Forest 4 points off. Do you think Forest seems to bounce back? Everton did it the first time. Do you think, well, we'll talk about the other teams, but do you think Everton are going to get dragged into it even more now with these 2 points, or do you see them climbing away and reacting well again? I guess it's difficult to say, isn't it?
It's really difficult to say. I think Everton have got tough games remaining. All right. We all do this at this stage of the season. We look at the fixtures and we decide, are they going to win that? Where are we going to get points? We're going to do this, we're going to do that. I think at the moment, this stage of the season, in terms of guaranteeing points, the only guarantee, the past few seasons, the only guarantee at this stage of the season is that Man City will win a game. After that, you're looking at it. I mean, this season, obviously, we've had a tight title race, but you think Arsenal and Liverpool, there are games in there for them where you can maybe see them slipping up or maybe seeing something going wrong. With Man City, you just don't. They've created this you can almost call it a dynasty, a way of playing where they suck jeopardy out of the game. If you think about Forest last season and that Chris Wood goal that they scored against City, it's held in the regard that it's held because it was just the most outrageous point, one of the most outrageous points of the campaign. That run that City were on at the time is one of the great runs of all time. That back end of that season, you know, beating Real Madrid 4-0. They thrashed Liverpool 4-1. They beat Arsenal 4-1. They were knocking teams over. And in that run, Forest drew 1-1 at home after every outfield player touched the ball, after having basically none of the ball all game and hanging on, and Wood scored that goal. So when we look at the fixtures and we decide, oh, you're going to pick up points there, or you should win that, or that's a winnable fixture. I tell you, I went to see Luton host Sheffield United, and it was probably the first game this season where Luton had been favourites, and they lost it 3-1 at home to Sheffield United. You cannot look at a fixture and think we're guaranteed points. But the perception will be, if you don't pick up points from that game, a real disappointment. And it probably does spread to players. I mean, I've heard players say in the past that you'd think to yourself that going to the Etihad is a more difficult experience than playing a side you should beat at home. And they said it's completely the opposite, in that going to Man City is a free hit. You just enjoy the day. And if you pick up something, happy days. And even, I think the build-up to it feels that way. I think of even Aston Villa last week, they made lots of changes for that midweek fixture against City. And they put all their eggs into the fixtures either side of that, against Wolves and Brentford. They're at home to Brentford, expected to win, end up drawing 3-3 in a game that they were in a 2-0 up in. These things can happen. It's a really awkward situation. But I do wonder, with the points deductions, it certainly helped. When Everton received the initial one, they did go on a pretty good run. They picked up some good results. They did some of their games in that period. I remember them beating Chelsea, for example, and they were racking up wins. And the point when the 10 points were initially taken away, people were saying, well, they'd be mid-table, they'd be comfortable without that deduction. But then all of a sudden, they just hit this run, 12 games, I think it was, without a victory. Almost a record run for the club for a number of decades. And they, you know, they just about got it together at the right time. But of course, they're, you know, playing Burnley. So you've got to look at it. And I've got to think to myself, you've got City at home. Let's just scratch that game off the list. Anything from that would be the most unreal bonus. I think every single one of Forest's other fixtures, and I include Chelsea at home in this, is a game in which Forest can certainly get something from. If you were to average a point from all those remaining games, with six games, that might be enough. That probably might be enough. Can Luton pick up 6 points in that time? You don't know. But you've got to be chasing. You think if you've got Sheffield United, you have Burnley in that run. Going off the top of my head, can't remember. You got Wolves this weekend, Everton. You've got Goodison. You've got Goodison Park to go to.
Yeah, that's going to be City at home and Chelsea at home.
Yeah, that's going to be. I mean, that Goodison game is chaotic. I think the winner of that will definitely stay up. I'm going to say that now. I just think, can you imagine the momentum from winning that particular game and the damage it does? Because Luton go to City this weekend. They have Brentford on the horizon as well. Again, another big game might be that same weekend. In fact, Matt, I might actually be doing that Everton Forest game. Let me check live on.
Why do you do that? I was going to interject and say that that's why I feel like this Wolves game is so big, because for us, if we win, and it's a very big if, because the game's going to be very close, but Luton at City, like you say, you probably expect Luton to lose. Everton v Chelsea, I actually think Everton might win that, but then we go there, and if we could win two games in a row, and that would make it three wins out of four. I mean, that was the difference that would make. I do think that would keep us safe. So, yeah, if these next two games, especially Saturday, it just feels so massive, because it would damage Luton's confidence, surely, if we can pick up a couple more, you know, a win and a draw. So, yeah, I feel like this Wolves game is absolutely huge.
Yes, it is. And Wolves are struggling. They've had so many bad injury issues. It's a bit unfair on them, and I know they've had the wrong end of things in regards to VAR and referee decisions. I actually think at the weekend I can understand why the referees disallowed the goal, just on a practical point of view. It's the same way when I did the England Ireland game yesterday. The Ireland, one of their handballs was another one where the arm was up. It deflected off the body, but onto the arm up. The law says it's a penalty. But the spirit within the game, which is what I quite liked about the Arsenal Bayern game, the referee basically telling Bayern about Gabriel when he picked the ball up after the whistle. It's almost he's just sort of saying to him, look, he didn't really know. Let's just get on with it. It's not.
I don't think he gives a penalty for that.
Minor silly thing. It's just ridiculous. And I think that's a lot of the time when fans get really annoyed. They're like, why are you disallowing that goal for offside? The keeper was never going to get there. But factually, he stood in front of the goalkeeper. He's offside as the ball's coming in. What can the officials do? They can't. They have to. Once they know that, they have to go by the law. It's really annoying for football fans. I understand that. But this idea of it being one of the worst decisions of all time and things, I'm not on board with that. But Wolves are in a sensitive place because I think they have had a good season. I think they were, besides the three promoted sides, they are probably the next team that people thought would get sucked in because of all the uncertainty. And they've pulled away from that, which is probably Forrest looking at them and thinking, oh, hold on a minute, if Wolves can do it, why haven't we managed to do it?
Was the Saka one a penalty last night, do you think?
I think it's a similar sort of situation whereby if the referee had given that in real time, I think it probably would have stayed. But it just didn't quite look right, did it? It just didn't quite... His leg was out there long enough. Neuer certainly caught him, and it's probably why he fell. But his leg didn't... It didn't feel right that his leg was out that far as he was moving to the left. And that's why I think deep down, just naturally, and I'm seeing it for the first time, straight away, that's not going to be overturned. No way. I think it was just the frustration, I think, of the moment, because it's the last minute. You've gone round the goalkeeper. I think fans probably like, put it in. Why hasn't he put it in? It must be because he's fouled. I mean, who'd be a referee?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't think it was a penalty. But I thought, you know, he's halfway through the air and his leg's left and in a natural position. But yeah. So back to just quickly before I ask you about final thoughts on Forest, just quickly, Brentford, I kind of feel like I don't like them, frankly, but I feel like they're eking their way.
Why is that?
Forest fans don't like them. I don't know. One of the things we've said this week on the podcast
from the Championship
rivalries. We've got a weird rivalry with Wolves because of the Morgan Gibbs White transfer, and Lopetegui was a bit of a hothead from our point of view, and Cooper and the staff for Cooper and Lopetegui, they did not get on. And we seem to have developed a rivalry with Bournemouth over the last few years because our paths have crossed quite a lot. And Luton a little bit. So, yeah.
Matt. I think there's a pattern here because you've said Luton, Bournemouth and Brentford. I think the pattern is maybe Forest looking at these clubs thinking, no, they look at these clubs and go, I can't believe these clubs are doing well. These clubs. Where were these clubs when we were winning the European Cup? You know, it's that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
there must be a bit of that going on.
I think so. But Brentford. I think Brentford will be all right. There's something weird going on with, like, Tony. His performances are still there from what I've seen, but he just looks like he wants away. In fact, he's made it very clear he wants away. But I do think they'll be all right, and I think Palace will be all right personally. Or would you disagree and think either of those could get dragged in?
No, I think Palace will be all right. Palace again are an interesting one. They don't seem to sign many players, but you look at their team and they have got some match winners in there. They haven't got a prolific striker, but there is talent in that front line. Again, they've had injuries to key players in that area and in defence as well, losing Gehi. Big blow for them. But I've always said about Palace, and I think Forest want to be this club. They're the sort of club where you don't notice, you don't know who they're playing that weekend. You go and check back. Who did Palace play? Oh, they picked up a point at Brighton. And then most fans move on. But it's those sort of results mean that Palace aren't in trouble. Mm. Whereas I know I gave Luton a lot of credit, but I'm aware of what game they're at. And then you turn around and then, they lost 2-1. There was a marginal defeat. Oh, and that can be the difference in the end. This is the situation we're in and Forest are in. They've lost a lot of games. I mean, how many games have Forest been in this season where one team has scored, there's been a 3-2s. How many 3-2s have there been?
I think it's...
It must be a record.
I think it's... Is it five and we've lost 8-3-2 since we came up? Because we lost 3-2 to Fulham, 3-2 to Bournemouth in consecutive games. Yeah, it's awful.
West Ham was West Ham 3-2?
We haven't even won 3-2. If we'd won 1 or 2 by 3-2, then I'd give it, you know,
No, it was the penalties Blackpool, wasn't it? Penalties. Yeah, I thought it was a 3-2 in my head. 3-1 Newcastle.
Yeah.
3-1 Newcastle.
3-1 Fulham. Yeah.
2-0 yeah,
Villa, 2-0 West Ham. We can't, we don't really. Eventually we'll Brighton, get a 3-2. Yeah.
Oh, that was it's, a 3-2 loss as well. It's mad. What it is, that? Yeah. That was 3-2 loss. That it's crazy, isn't it? I mean, and I think there we're saying the problem defensive. The defensive lineup. I mean, what is the best defensive lineup for Forest? What is it?
Yeah, well, I mean,
Mamadeli's appeared now.
Yeah, we're sort of getting there. It's taken so long. I mean, Sales in goal. Nico Williams has been really good. He's really cemented that place.
Where is Montiel? Is Montiel
out? He got an injury, so he played really well. I thought against Newcastle United when we won, and then he had a spell where he cost a goal a game. Like he's. FA Cup, he's heading it out to players and they were going in and then he got injured and then Nico cemented the place. So, and he's, I think Forrest had a clause like if he played X amount of games before start of April, then we had to sign him and he didn't play it. And now he's just come back onto the bench. So I think that shows they don't really, Nuno doesn't really fancy him. And then, Ollerain has done well. Murillo's obviously so good that I think we might end up selling him this summer. And then Omar Bamadeli's done well.
Well, it depends. I think if you stay up. Yeah. It's either one. I mean, what do you think about Gibbs White being the one?
No. Hang on. Let me have a quick sip of tea and I'll tell you why. I think, I've said this before, if we sell Gibbs White, then I think we'd really, really struggle because he's very hard to replace because the attack still revolves around him under Nuno. And I know his numbers in terms of goals and assists, his output isn't quite where you'd want it to be for a player of that position. But he does have these X-factor games like the Fulham one where he was so good. And if he has, even if he has two more like that and we win them and he's won them for us, then we're probably all right. But I think it's easier to find like a functional James Tarkowski type centre-half will do a job for 15 million quid than it is to find a functional number 10 who'll get you 10 goals and 5 assists a season.
Yeah, but that's precisely why I'm saying it. Because if a player's hard to find, then clubs want that player. And that's why I said it. I think Murillo would still be a risk for the money that someone would need to buy him. You know, what sort of club would come in for a young centre-half, even though he's doing really well? It's a position which is a bit risky. But I understand your point about Forest wanting to sell him. But this is going back to what I was saying about having to sell your crown jewels just to stay still. Brighton style, you know, I think Gibbs White is that. He is the one who turns heads the most at Forest. And I have to say credit to him, really, because I remember doing a documentary a few years back. I don't know if I mentioned it in one of the early ones, but it was a documentary about basically all the England players born in the year 2000, and a lot of them won the Under-17 World Cup. And I interviewed most of that squad and some other players who were born in 2000. And he came across really well when I was interviewing. Bear in mind, you know, the teen, you know, 18, 19 years of age. And I was really surprised that Wolves, it just didn't quite work for him. But I know there are other issues going on. But I think he's been really good for Forest, considering that path. To be a young player signed for a decent amount of money, really, then to be a focal creative point in the team, I think he's done well. And I as I understand it, there are clubs interested in him. This is why I'm just saying.
No, I'm sure there are.
Worry anyone. I'm not to worry anyone. I'm not worrying anyone.
I hear whispers about genuine interest from Spurs and stuff like that. And, you know, other clubs looking at him. But I think you're right. I agree. Especially like he hadn't played very much Premier League football. His successes have been in the Championship, and to come up and be the focal point of a Premier League attack with that price tag and no senior international football behind him, I think he's done really well. I mean, that was probably the last thing I was going to ask you is if Forest are going to stay up, it feels like it's going to be on the back of scoring goals because we can't defend particularly well in terms of clean sheets. So is it going to be Gibbs White or is it, you know, Chris Wood, Elanga, Callum Hudson-Odoi, are they the ones that we are going to have to show up for us to stay up, do you think?
Absolutely. They are, you just said those four players there. They all have the ability to be match winners on their day. I think Alanga's probably, he's the sort of player, every time I see him, he's got plenty of pace. He's a good mover, energetic. His return is obviously not quite at the level required, hence why Manchester United didn't, you know, he's not ultimately a Manchester United player week in, week out. But he's certainly somebody who adds something to Forest. And if he could get a style that enables them to exploit his pace in behind, it's a real mixture when you look at those four together. They offer something completely different. Going, what I was saying about Gibbs White, well, Hudson-Odoi is that exact same generation, year 2000, you know, same team, same World Cup winners, blah, blah, blah. And he was expected at the time to be the one to go straight up, you know, up with Foden and Sancho. I mean, obviously, he's not worked for Sancho either, but I felt him moving to Forest felt like a good move for him. If he could stay fit, then he is another player who's got enough about him to get you out of trouble. He's just when you look at these players that we're describing here and you imagine Forest playing against some of the teams they have left to play against, they can certainly be match winners in these games. The run that Chris Wood is on, I mean, it's been very important considering Awoniyi's injury issues. He's just shown he's a very dependable Premier League striker. And certainly, I think, for the situation that you're in, he's a player that you need. You have pace in that front line. You have guile in that front line. You have strong runners. You've got a player in Gibbs White who can run in behind the defence or drop off the defence, can be everywhere. And you've got a target man. It just feels like it works. And like you say, where it doesn't work is behind it. That's the issue. Nico Williams, I agree with you. I think he's been impressive. And he's been a fixture, really, at right back since Nuno took over. But, and again, Murillo, we're giving him credit. But that partner to him, again, there's been rotation in that area. Obviously, injuries play their part. Different players trying to find a settled situation. If you've got Amabamadeli and Murillo, we're talking about two very young centre-half partnership in the Premier League. It's usually a position where, I know we have outliers like Saliba, but it's usually a position where you're a bit older, aren't you, really? So that's an issue. And I will repeat the goalkeeper fact again. Again, if you'd had sales all season or just a goalkeeper who would be reliable and just spread a feeling. I think when we, at one of the times we spoke before Christmas, Vlachodimos had come in to the side, having watched Turner be in goal, and then thought, well, maybe he might be all right. You know, maybe he might be the man. And then it's just not happened, has it? It's just not in the case. Then Turner comes back in again, and you start to think, oh, no, we're going to have to get another goalkeeper. And clearly, Nuno's thought that. It's experienced goalkeeper to come in. It's what was needed. Yeah, I mean, look, Forrester. It's so tricky, isn't it? As you can see, though, the way I'm talking about Forest, I don't want to use the phrase too good to go down, because it's not really true, because if you go down, you've mucked up along the way. But I just think they just shouldn't be going down from this sort of situation with the players playing that they are, fixtures they have left, and most significantly, the size that should occupy those bottom three places. The other thing to throw into this, of course, is if, you know, Forrest's appeal is successful, it changes everything, doesn't it? If they get a couple of points back, that could be it, couldn't it? So, you know, even 1 point in hindsight, this weekend, you beat Wolves, Luton lose to City, it's 4 points again, your goal difference is better. 4 points. We're talking about the title race being 1 point and it being really tight. And these are teams that are winning every week. What about the bottom? Mm. 4 points is huge. It's huge. You're looking at the teams above who are four. Think of the teams who are 4 points above you. And we're talking about saying, yeah, they've probably done enough now, haven't they? Who knows? It's going to be fascinating for everyone who doesn't support one of the clubs involved.
It's going to be torture for the people who do.
Absolutely. But to be honest, when is football not torture for supporters?
I know. It makes the high points worthwhile, I guess, certainly. Right, we shall leave it there. As ever, if you've enjoyed this, do us a favour, hit like, hit subscribe. You can become a channel member, as I always say. And I do enjoy reading any good five-star reviews on iTunes. Right, what's next for you, Seb, commentary-wise? Who have you got this weekend?
Well, Liverpool. Liverpool hosting Crystal Palace. So I'm sure you'll be hoping for a big Liverpool win. Were you from that game? Just to try and drag another team back in. I mean, that's the funny thing about it is that you are looking at other teams' results all the time. And I imagine when Luton scored that late winner, I mean, what were your emotions then?
Well, mine were a little different. So everyone was completely gutted, but I've always had it in my mind that not every result's going to go for us. And I thought Luton would win that game just because their fixtures were so awful. And, you know, they had, is it Spurs and Liverpool, and then they've got City next or something like that. And then, so I thought they'd win that game. I just wonder if they can keep rallying themselves with so many injuries. Like the standard of the bottom three, if we're honest, Forest are very lucky that the points tally they put up is not compared to other seasons, you know, especially last season with Leicester, Leeds, Southampton. If we stay up in 17th, we're probably quite fortunate.
You know, none of these, I mean, there's so many teams here who won't get 38 points. Remember when we said that was the Holy Grail? I mean, Palace possibly won't. They're on 30.
Yeah.
We're looking at quite a few teams there that won't get that amount. Of course, there are points deductions, but I think if you had Everton's points back on, they're still not at 38. So they're still not having a good season.
Like 33 might probably be enough, I feel. I don't know. Are we on 25? Yeah, I think 33. 32, 33. Which is quite
more than enough. I think 30 might be enough. I really do. I think it's really tough.
You're right. I mean,
I'm just basing this on Luton. I know I keep talking about Luton all the time, but I think I'm just going to try and I'm going to look for Luton's Luton's fixtures. Obviously, City, Brentford at home, Wolves away, Everton at home, West Ham away, Fulham at home. I mean, if there's a game you want on the last game of the season at home,
Fulham are the coupon buster.
They're the coupon buster, Fulham. Don't ever try and guess what Fulham's result's going to be. You're in big trouble.
I think I do. Yeah, I feel like we need to be ahead of Luton by that game. But even if they beat, so if they beat Everton and they beat Brentford, that will drag them into it. It's still in Forest's hands to, you know, front up and do the business.
That's the benefit. That's why I just think it's all in Forest's hands with those fixtures. It'll be crushing, obviously, if Wolves were to go to the City Ground and win this weekend. I think that would be quite crushing because you'd feel like you've stood still because your goal difference already, I don't think Luton are going to be able to catch up on the goal difference. So it almost is irrelevant whether they lose 5-0, 6-0 to City. But it's just the fact that you haven't gained that advantage. This is the weekend to do it, to effectively get 4 points in front with a goal difference. So let's see. And by the way, I'm not doing that Everton game. I have Everton Brentford, I think, is the one I was thinking of.
Well, let's face it, Everton v Forest is not going to be a thriller, is it? So from your commentary point of view.
I think it is a live Sky game.
I think it is, yeah.
People will be able to watch it.
Yeah. Oh, it'll be a thriller then. There you go. As a Sky Sports commentator, I should, talk that one up. But Everton v Burnley was not a thriller. But there's been plenty of good games this week, certainly, not least last night. Shall we leave it there? Yes, we shall. We'll be back Wednesday. We'll be back at 9:30 tomorrow morning with our full match preview. And then Friday, I've got the opposition view with Ryan Lester from the Wolves Report. And then Saturday, post-match, a little later at 8:30 p.m. because I'm going for a drink with some Wolves fans who I know after the match. So it'll be a slightly later time.
Are you sure?
Stream.
Are you sure? Well,
if we lose, I'd probably not, actually. No, I'll be back earlier. Yeah. But I should say, pre-match, I'll be in the Trent Navigation if people want to come and say hello with other people from the podcast. Right, Seb, thank you very much as ever. It's been really good to have you with us.
No problem. Thanks, Matt. thanks for having me on. I'm sorry that, you know, over this the few months since we last spoke, that things have just been sort of like this. Otherwise, let's see. Good luck till the end of the season.
Hopefully so. Hopefully so. And then look forward to having you back on next season when we are still in the Premier League, hopefully. And we'll be flying. We'll be pushing for Europe by then, is be your team transformed. Right. On that very wishful note, we shall leave it there. Have a good evening, everyone, and hopefully catch you tomorrow. Sports Social Podcast Network.